Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, I do. Need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Change the world what it used to be.
Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey.
To God be the glory. We thank God once again for this awesome evening of July the 12th, 2021, a day we've never seen before, a day we'll never see again. But in this wonderful day of Thanksgiving, we're grateful and thankful to God to still yet be amongst the living. So many of us show our appreciation daily of how God has truly blessed us. And first of all, we always tell him thank you for another great day when we wake up with the activity of our limbs, being in our right mind, knowing that he has been good to us. And for those of you that are not in a habit of saying thank you, God, each and every day that you wake up, I encourage you to do that, because you never know one day that you may be in your sleep and may not wake up one morning, and you want to always give God glory, honor, and praise. I know so many there at Surfside, Florida, never ever thought or believed that they would not make it to the next day, especially after they had a successful day, especially when they're in good health. And they just simply go and lie in their beds. And in the middle of the night, unbeknownst to them, unfortunately, something horrible happened. And then they, through the search and rescue, they tried to decipher where the bedrooms were, because they determined that majority of those that were in that rumble, they were in the bedrooms asleep. And so I just pray that God gives us all the ability to be faithful to him and to be grateful unto him for every day that we're amongst the living, because that means there's still work to be done here on this earth. We want to first say thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule, being here with us, allowing us an opportunity to impart into your lives, thanking God once again for allowing you an opportunity to be a blessing to others as well by simply pressing 1 on your phone. That will place you in the host queue. And upon that time, Minister Jesse will open up your mic and allow you to share through transparency. We want to always thank you for praying for us day in and day out, thanking us and thanking God for allowing us to be able to go and be a part of this wonderful Monday evening with you, to bring a word in season for each and every one of you. Tonight is no different. Tonight we just thank God that we have the ability to understand what faithfulness means, especially as it relates to oneness, because we know oneness requires faithfulness. And I just pray that God gives us all the ability to be able to study this word and to apply it to our daily lives and be the best us that we can be. As always, thank you for being here and being a part of our opening prayer, ushering in the Holy Spirit. My name is Tammy Storr. We'll be joined by Minister Jesse Storr shortly, thanking God for your presence, thanking God for his presence, and as we usher him in once again, grateful and thankful that he will be in the midst with us, because in his word he said, well, two or more gather together, we call upon his name, that he will be there with us. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, thank you for your presence tonight. Thank you for allowing us to be able to come before you, understanding and knowing there's nothing that we can do by ourselves. We need your assistance in everything we put our hands to, we put our minds to, we put our words to. And on tonight, it's no different, Holy Spirit. We just welcome you in to take over our mouthpiece and allow us to be able to go over this word of wisdom, Father God, as it relates to faithfulness with these awesome, powerful, strong, God-fearing men and women who have made their way to the Blog Talk Radio Show. I pray tonight, Heavenly Father, that you would be in the midst of everything we say, do, and touch. I pray that someone would gain revelation knowledge tonight, Lord God, based on where they are in their relationships, whether it be as a spouse, whether it be as a mother, whether it be as a sibling, whether it be as a friend, a coworker, whatever the relationship is, Lord God, I thank you that we're able to utilize this word called faithfulness and be the best us that we can be. I pray that you continue to anoint, touch, watch over, and keep every marriage that's represented, not only on our Blog Talk Radio Show tonight, throughout the land, and all of the marriages that you strategically put together, because we know you make no mistakes. We know that anything worth having is worth working hard for. And therefore, we understand and know what we must do, Lord God, to help make a difference in the lives of so many. And so I pray that not only will you bless Minister Jesse and I to be a blessing to our listening audience, but let us, Lord God, pay it forward. And if we're blessed tonight, let us bless somebody else with what we've heard tonight. Let us bless someone else by speaking life into their situation. Let us bless someone else by encouraging them and building them up. I pray tonight, Heavenly Father, that you will allow us to grab a hold of this word like never before and allow any situation that needs to have the 360 done in the relationships that they're in. Let it happen, Lord God, and let them understand and know that no matter who it is, that we can and will be able to do all things through you, Christ Jesus, that strengthens us. And let us understand in your word where you tell us to be strong and courageous, Lord God. You said in your word that you would be with us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. We leave you, but you said you would never leave us. So let us not get it twisted, Lord God. You've never left us. And so I just pray tonight, where there's any challenges going on in any marriage, that you would bless the marriages, Lord God, to gain revelation knowledge to know what they must do, Lord God, through their communication to turn some things around. For those that, Lord God, we know, Father God, are doing well and they're striving, Lord God, in excellence and want to be more like you, continue to give us strength, give us courage, give us wisdom, give us understanding to do just that. Father, I can't thank you enough for this awesome, wonderful man of God that you blessed me with in my husband, Mr. Jesse Storr. Minister Jesse, I pray many blessings upon him. I pray that you touch his body. I know he's been in a little pain lately, Lord God, in his lower back and down. And I pray, Lord God, that you would heal him from that pain and give him the ability to do something that he just loves to do so much. And that's the ability to work out, and let him be able to work out without pain, and let him be able to walk without pain. Let him be able to turn it over to you. And I know, Lord God, that you will take a hold and make him, Father God, whole again. I thank you once again, Father, for just allowing all of us to understand and know where we make mistakes. And let us understand that wonderful word called forgiveness. Let us forgive each other. Let us go and ask someone to forgive us if we know we've done something that has brought aught to our brother or sister. Give us a loving heart, Lord God. And in the spirit, we know, Lord God, that we'll be able to do everything you desire for us to do. I thank you once again for every individual that has made their way. Those that are married, those that are looking to get married, those that are engaged, I pray for them all, Lord God, that you bless us all to be better individuals, and especially, Lord God, as it relates to this thing we call faithfulness. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Well, amen. One more time, let everyone say amen and praise God. We thank God for his grace and his mercy, which endures forever. We are gathered here again this evening on this 12th day of July in the year 2021. Wow, interesting. 12 and 21. We praise God and thank God for my queen, my wife, my best friend, and also my co-laborer in the gospel. We know the words say that the harvest is plentiful, but as a brother reminded us this morning, the laborers are few. We praise God and thank God for what he's doing in each and every one of your lives. And we know and understand by intuition and by the Spirit that we ourselves are extreme examples of faithfulness. Whether we believe it or not, whether we accept it, or whether we acknowledge it, all of us, by the nature of who we are and where we are, live by the concept of faith. We all do. The substance of things, you know, unknown, but it's definitely about things that we seek and we desire. And we live in a world today, unbelievably, that conditions us, that patterns us over and over again to internalize this faith principle. In almost every mundane facet and element of life, we see the concept. You said, what do you mean? All right, let's look at it for a moment. When most of us get up in this postmodern era, in this 21st century, what do? We turn something on. The thing we may turn on might simply be a wall switch, or it may be a lamp. It may be a lamp over our bed. But for the most part, if we wake up in the summertime prior to 6 a.m., it's still dark outside. Or in the winter, sometimes if we, you know, go to bed or look at the time it's dark at 5:30 or 6, we turn lights on. See, we turn lights on without even thinking about what's involved or what's taking place. We take it for granted because we have come by faith to believe that when we flip a switch, that the light is going to come on. The only time we may be concerned about the light coming on or not is when the bulb is blown, or when a light bulb needs to be replaced or something like that. But let the lights go out, and then what do? We go down to our second level. Do we have a flashlight, or do we have a candle, or perhaps some may have kerosene? Think about it in the day when they got up, and by faith, if they had some kerosene in the lamp, they knew they could take a match and light it, and it would light up again. So over the course of time, we learn that we no longer worry about oil. We no longer sometimes worry about candles, and we put all our faith on, depending on where we live, the utility company, wherever we may be living at that particular point in time. So by virtue of their performance, that performance by that company, we develop a level of trust and a level of faith, so much so that when we have lights go out here or there's a power outage or whatever, we can dial into a number. And when we dial into that number, they say, what is your address? And you give them your address, and they simply say, oh, there's a power outage in that area. So even when there's an outage in a particular area, we have learned by faith to trust that the power is going to come back on. And some of these utilities have become so good and so efficient at maintaining your level of faith, they can actually tell you it would be on by a certain time. You know, cable companies now, they do the exact same thing. And you call in Now they can tell you, oh, well, what is the model on your modem? Give us a model, and we'll send a new charge. We'll initiate a new signal right here from the office, and we'll see if we can get you back on track. And oftentimes we see that it happens, and all of a sudden with that new signal, your television or your cable all of a sudden seems to take on a new life. And so all around us, we have all of these elements that we develop these faith relationships. But we also say, ironically, when we see all of that, we still sometimes have difficulty in being faithful in our social and personal relationships. We remain overly committed to jobs and businesses. We know that we go to jobs, and sometimes they say people can go to jobs, and there's been a lot of humor put out lately, especially since the pandemic, where people make fun of their jobs, and they say so much about how they dislike their jobs. But they're faithful to be there because from those jobs, they get paid some money. And we live in a society, we live in a world that we know without money, without having the element to buy and sell, it may not be a very happy occasion for us. So we learn to go, and even though it's not happy for us, we don't like the unhappy that will come if we didn't have the money to be able to pay and do those things that are necessary in order to survive. What makes it ironic is that we sometimes fail to see the greater, more deeper, intrinsic value of our relationships. We live in a world where it seems to be turned upside down. What makes us so faithful to our jobs or to external organizations while we are unwilling to remain faithful to our marriage? Well, perhaps what is being faithful in the first place? Well, faithfulness, from our perspective, is the past tense of being faithful, which is defined as remaining loyal and steadfast. Marriages may be destroyed by infidelity, and most of the time infidelity is caused by a breakdown in the marital relationship prior to any act of infidelity. As a matter of fact, as we've been chatting with a young brother, sin in and of itself is a process. And so that process of disconnect, that process of disruption, that process of not being able just to disagree without being disagreeable invites and makes possible the opportunity of infidelity. See, if faithfulness was established, then infidelity would never happen. It would never have the opportunity to be a part of the reality. And so when we think about the quality or state of being faithful, many, many thought processes should flood our mind. We should be thinking in terms of being loyal to each other. That's a deep word, loyal? Wow, you mean to be consistent, to be devoted to each other, dedicated. I mean, to be dependable and reliable. Think about those types of descriptions and adjectives that describe the relationship and what you're doing to make sure you are developing and you're working on having an authentic relationship, a relationship based on fairness and justice that allows you to come together in a manner that many others would never be able to understand. So what's the point of this thing in the first place? Well, nothing is more fundamental to success than the concept and the process of faithfulness. Since it's all around us, and many of us fail to realize and embrace it, and when it comes to execution in our marriage, we have to ask ourselves, why is that? What are the things that take place in life that cause us to miss the mark when it comes to being faithful in our marriage? Now, before we examine some of those examples, let me give a foundation just for a moment, and then we're going to have McQueen come back, and she's going to share some things. But just for a moment, we want to share some of those fundamental things that sometimes make it extremely difficult for us to get to that same level of faithfulness in our own relationships. See, sometimes when we don't think about it and don't give much credence to it, but those things that have happened to us in the past, those things that we saw that took place perhaps even in our own home, how did we see our mothers and our fathers? Were we lucky enough to see a father loving on a mother? Were we lucky enough to see a mother loving on a father? Were we lucky enough to even see a mother and a father have disagreement, yet the next time we saw them, which may be the next hour, 2 hours, or the next morning, they were back in harmony? Did we have the privilege to see that? Because, see, in life, you will have disagreement. In life, you will have perspectives that differ from your spouse. But the real deal is, does your spouse, will they have a level of inventory experiences in their own life that will allow them to know, to think, to feel, and to believe that even though you may have had a disagreement about whatever it was, it's just a simple disagreement about whatever that disagreement was. It's nothing that will cause you to want to go out and do anything that would be a violation of your marriage. And so we must come to understand and get a feel for what are those things that might break down. And oftentimes, again, it may not even be directly related to your spouse. There may have been things that happened in your past, or that happened with your parents, or that happened with friends that you know. And that's why it's vitally important that we have learned, even in the concept of counseling, that you have to be extremely careful in what you may allow yourself to even hear. That when you are even counseling, you must detach yourself. You must remain separate from the evidence that may be presented to you, because sometimes that evidence may be similar to what you yourself have experienced. And then before you know it, you may find yourself internalizing the experience or what one or another of a couple has shared with you regarding their experience. So we praise God and thank God that when we come to a point of knowing and understanding that my experience in life, the things that have happened, not only to me, but also to my parents, to my siblings, to friends, and even people I don't even know, that if I don't have the proper type of covering, if I don't have the proper type of filtration devices in my mind and in my spirit, I could be utterly vulnerable. I could be more vulnerable to the pain that someone else has experienced than to the pain that I might have experienced in my own life. And so this thing of faithfulness requires a great deal of concern, and it's something that we all should desire to have, not only being faithful to another human being, but knowing without a shadow of a doubt that human being is also being faithful to you. So I'm going to open it back up to my queen and ask her to just come and share what are some of the examples of things that happen in our lives that can have an effect positively or negatively on faithfulness in marriage. Your mic is open, Queen.
Amen, Jesse. To God be the glory, I tell you. It was powerful. I was enjoying it. I was hoping you was just going to share a little bit more, but I know you will come back, and I just thank God always for allowing you just to be able to go over this word with simplicity and understanding. And when you gave the definition of faithfulness, it's so powerful. And I want to just take it a step further. When I think of faithfulness as well, and I look at the biblical definition and I think about it, you know, the factor quality of being true to one's word or commitments. I mean, commitments and words are so powerful as it relates to the word of God. And so when we put that in perspective, it helps us understand what this word faithfulness really means. It tells us as to what one has pledged to do, professes to believe, or et cetera. In the Bible, the Psalmist David's report, God's faithfulness in keeping promises. And so we already know all about the Psalmist and David and how they spoke about faithfulness and how those promises are so important. And if we can only put ourselves there and think about what they do and how they've done it and the importance of it, I think it will give us a better understanding of where we are in life and what we need to do. Because when we think about it, as you indicated, Jesse, it is defined, you know, as a quality of being loyal and reliable. And how many of us know that if you find yourself being loyal and reliable, not only in your marriage, yes, let's not get it twisted. We're here. We're speaking about marriages. We're speaking about oneness. But it doesn't matter. We welcome all to come to the Blog Talk Radio Show, because if you're not married, more than likely you might have recently come out of a divorce or been divorced and looking to get remarried, and so you're preparing yourself. What can I do, and how can I study to show myself approved? What better way to prepare yourself, to write notes down, to have a few nuggets of the things that we share each and every Monday night? But all of the word that we share with you can be used, as Jesse just spoke about, in relationships other just with your spouse. It could be with your siblings, with your coworkers, and with your friends, and so many others. I mean, this word is so powerful. If only we apply it and allow it to be used on a daily basis, do our lives change forever? But when I think about faithfulness and I think about loyal and I think about reliability, I think about Jesse so often. I think about how we are to be devoted to one another, how we're going to be dedicated to each other, how we're going to be committed to one another. And when you put those words in perspective, you have no choice but to then be faithful. And being faithful also in the marriage sense, you know, we look at that and we think about it. Instead of saying infidelity, it allows us to have, which is what we definitely want. And so when I think about just a few examples and I think about how God really put all of this in perspective, I think about, above all, Jesse, that God calls us to be faithful. And so when we think about these different relationships and we think about faithfulness, God calls us to be faithful, first and foremost, to Him. And so how many times have we said it on this Blog Talk Radio Show? There is nothing that you should be doing without seeking God's face first. So when you do that, when you seek God's face, you're asking Him for direction, you're quieting yourself enough to hear from Him, then when you're out and you're with, you know, even at a grocery store, or you could be at a simple dinner by yourself, or it don't matter where you are, trouble tries to find you. And it's up to you if you're able to discern when trouble's approaching you. Because how many of us know when trouble's approaching us, one of the first things we're wanting to do is take off running in the opposite direction? And I encourage all of us under the sound of my voice that if you know trouble is visiting you on your job, run from it. If you know that trouble is visiting you in certain areas, maybe workout, maybe could be just taking a walk and somebody's seen you and kind of has your routine, you need to change up a little bit, because you don't want trouble to find you, especially as it relates to faithfulness. Infidelity will cause a divorce. infidelity can cause havoc upon your fullness, on the other hand, will cause you to have a lot of things going on. And when you have a lot of things going on in a positive way, you get blessed in the evening at the end of a day when you're in your bedroom that's undefiled. You got a partner that's willing to do whatever God is saying you can do because your bedroom is undefiled, that you can enjoy each other. But how many of us know when infidelity takes place into our lives that it becomes a challenge in the bedroom? It becomes a challenge with our relationship. And that's one of the things that we're trying to prevent each and every Monday night when you come on board and you receive, and not only receive it, but you get it deep down into your heart, deep down into your spirit of where God desires you to be. And so when I think about a couple of examples, Jesse, I think about one of being, when I think about also, when I think about lying versus truth. I mean, infidelity will cause you to do a lot of lying. However, fidelity will cause you to tell the truth, because when you come home and you know you've done what you was called to do in a given day, if you go out into the workplace and you've gone out and you were successful and you did everything that you know your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would want you to do, and when you come back into your home, you come back with a smile on your face, you come back feeling pretty good. Because I understand and I know that when you have the opposite and you have someone that is doing a lot of lying and being unfaithful, it causes havoc upon a household, not only just upon the husband and wife, but it causes it on the entire household. And it causes your children to wonder what's going on. It causes your children to be weary. And I pray that we don't put our children in that state, but we do our part to do what's right and make sure we tell the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so, therefore, you do what you need to do when you leave your household. But when I think about John 14, 1, when you're going through, because we're human, we make mistakes, but if you ever find yourself in that situation, I will say that it tells us, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. So there may be trouble that tries to come in every now and then. There may be someone that tries to stir up some things and to lie on some things about you, but you can't let your heart be troubled. You have to understand and know that you got to believe in God and know that he can see you through. And then when I think about also, Jesse, as I think about lying versus truth, and I'm moving forward and I'm asking myself, Lord, why would someone want to say a little white lie? Because how many of us know when you say one little white lie, then you got to tell about 10 or 15 more just to get beyond it and get over it. And before you know it, you don't have any more. And then the truth eventually comes out. And when the truth comes out, it becomes some challenges. But how many of us know? And if we understand 2 Timothy 2, we understand that in verses 11 to 13, it says, this saying is trustworthy. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithful, he remains faithful. He can't deny himself. And so the key thing here is, if we are in this thing called marriage together, if we're truthful to one another, if we're allowing each other to understand that we're doing everything we can to show faithfulness, then there won't be any room for any lying. And so we don't have to worry about it, and we're going to continue to be faithful to do what God has called us to do. And when I think about another relationship, Jesse, sometimes we get a little twisted. You know, I don't want to just deal with marriages. Let's move it a little further, and let's speak about employment versus unemployment. I mean, when you think about employment, so many of us have an opportunity to understand and know that there are certain things we must do to be faithful on that. We have to be faithful on our job to do what we've been asked and instructed to do, because the company has a responsibility. And so when we have a responsibility as a whole, everybody has a part. And if your part is getting left undone, then eventually you're going to find yourself unemployed. How many of us know that as much as we wish we could, that we can live this life without having to worry about financial wealth, to take care of our household, then that would be a blessing. But we live in a world where we know that without finances, there's not a lot that we can do. So we just pray that God gives us all the ability to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the will and the work of God. And God would want us not to cheat our employer, because that's called stealing. God said, don't do that. He would want us to go and be faithful to that employer, do what we have to do, and make sure that when we leave at the end of a day, that we went and we did what God called us to do in that particular day as we go to work, and that's to be successful in our day on our job. And I pray that we all have the ability to continue to do that. And we all understand that if we only listen to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it says, trust in Yahweh with all your heart, and don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Because so many times we go to a workplace, and so many of us are going through, and we desire most of the days not to be there, because sometimes it just does something to our spirit. Because sometimes a workplace is not a place that you really want to go because there's so much going on. But if you find yourself being more Christ-like, if you find yourself doing what is respected of you and expected of you, you will find yourself being in a better environment that allows you then to want to get up in the morning full of excitement to go and do a long day of work and be able to be rewarded for it the end of that week or the end of that 2 weeks. And so that when that paycheck comes, you feel good about taking that money. You feel good about being able to supply your family with the necessary home and food and clothing. And God forbid, being able to go out to dinner or go on vacation or whatever those funds may be used for, but you feel good about it. And so we got to do our part to make sure that whatever we're doing it to the will of God. And then we might think about when we are growing up. Some of us grew up with parents, and some of us did not know our parents. And some of us may have only known one of our parents. And sometimes we look at situations and we wonder in our minds, are we really going to look back over our lives and be grateful and thankful, or are we going to go and look back over our lives and complain? I mean, because so many of us have to accept the fact that we didn't grow up with our fathers, i.e., I'm one. I grew up with a bonus dad, and I thank God for him. But I didn't grow up with my natural born father, the father that brought me into the, helped bring me into this world. And it bothered me still yet to this day, and may he continue to rest in peace. One of the things that if I had to do over, if I could have more days of spending with him, just in his arms and being loving with him, I would take that in a heartbeat. But the reality is I can't bring that back. I have to live with it, and I have to understand and know that God has equipped me to be able to get beyond those thoughts, to be able now to make sure that my children have their father that has been here from day one and does a phenomenal job with them. And so now I can just look into the eyes of my own children where they have their father that they can call, and they have him to be able to give them guidance, to give them instructions, and just to speak to them about things that may be going on, something that I really didn't have in life. But it doesn't cause me not to want to be the individual that God has called me to be for such a time as this. And through my faithfulness of not allowing that to get in place of me not being able to be myself is where I'll gain much success. And so when I think about all of this as it comes in full circle, I just want to thank God once again for the privilege and the opportunity for us to understand and know what faithfulness really is. When I think about 1 Corinthians 10, 12, 13, Jesse, it says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands be careful that he doesn't fall. No temptation has taken you except what is common to man. God is faithful. God is faithful. If God is faithful, then why can't we? If we want to be more like, we want to be more like God, we can tell ourselves every day, because we tell ourselves in its positive things, God is a healer. God is faithful. Okay, we can be a healer. We can be the one to lay hands on someone and they can be healed. It tells us that in the Word of God. So if you want to be faithful, you just tell yourself. If you say God is faithful, you can have the same thing. Tell yourself that you are, will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. And I wanted to close with that scripture, Jesse, because I know that there are so many times that we're tempted. There are so many times when we don't know how to say no. We don't understand when the Holy Spirit is saying, no, 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 not today. You need to walk the other way. But there are so many of us that allow temptation in the form of someone getting to you to the point where you cannot hold your peace. And you may say some things that you regret because you were tempted in the flesh and you didn't allow the Spirit to take over, which you always have that ability if you desire it. But so many of us get in the flesh so quick, and I'm speaking of myself as well, and before I know it, I'm finding myself having to go and apologize because I allowed someone to tempt me enough to take me out of the will of God and put me in a place that I should have never been. But I'm that grown, I'm that mature, and I'm that understanding that I must go and ask for forgiveness. And then how about when someone says something that I know is not of the will of God to me? I have to be quick when they ask me to forgive them to say, I forgive you. So I just pray that we always take the opportunity to do what we know Christ would do, what God would do, and put ourselves in that position. We have the ability to be faithful in every aspect of every relationship if we desire it. I charge you. I encourage you. Go make it happen. Change your mindset. Change the things you're doing and allow it to be a blessing to others that you make contact with, especially your spouse. Oneness requires faithfulness. May God bless you all.
Well, amen and amen and amen. Powerful prophetic utterance on this subject. Oneness requires faithfulness. And again, in this particular dispensation, in this postmodern era, we have perfected being faithful to many things, oftentimes to more things, and we have remained faithful to each other, our relationships, and our marriages. You see, they often correlate. And I can remember oftentimes having the conversation, what is it about life, or what is it about this world that will cause us to give more faith and more confidence and more commitment to those things that cannot any kind of way fulfill us in the manner in which we were created. Someone said the other day, can money buy you happiness? And they were speaking to some very wealthy individuals. And all of them said that money cannot bring you happiness. But the only thing it can do, that if you had a dull or if you had a disgusting existence, it can make that dull or disgusting existence more appealing or amenable. But it did not bring happiness. Money does not assure and ensure you any level of happiness. But on the other hand, most of us have always had a chance to see that one commercial by a credit card company, and it speaks about certain things that, and almost in every example, when it comes down to some level of intrinsic connection, a daughter, you know, seeing a father out in the crowd, and she's doing something that she enjoys doing, and many times in the past, perhaps he was away on a business trip or traveling or whatever, or just was not interested. And now all of a sudden, she looks out there and she sees her father, and it says priceless. See, that's how we should look at our relationships and our marriage, is that it's priceless, and that it's an opportunity for us to experience all that God says. Yet we fight this great battle. And we know the battle that we fight is not a battle of flesh and blood. Almost all of the time, it's a battle of the spirit, a battle of the mind. Because all around us, we are bombarded with all of this ammunition that we need to say, I don't need to take this or I don't need to take that. When in fact, God may be saying, that's exactly what you need to take or that's exactly what you need to understand. Because remember, from our previous broadcast, see, your spouse is there to perfect you as you pursue the perfect will of God. Your spouse is not there always 100% of the time to just be in total agreement with everything you may say. Although oftentimes we as spouses have to come to realize that oftentimes we should be the greatest cheerleader that our spouse may ever experience. So as we leave here tonight, as we always like to do, what could we encourage you to do? What would be a level of admonishment that would allow you and to help you become more effective in being faithful and allowing faithfulness to become a reality in your experience before marriage and after marriage? Well, we talked about this last week, and it still applies in this particular week. The number one thing is be kind, not to allow any form or any kind of disagreement cause you to miss the mark of this higher calling. Be kind in the flesh. The word has told us we could be angry, but sin not. And sometimes we have to just know and understand that we can't respond to situations the way the world say we can respond. And even though we may find, and even though we may be given all forms and levels of justification, we have to be kind because we are sowing seeds. And as we sow those seeds of kindness, that leads to an elevation of righteousness. And when righteousness is elevated, something happens that is good for all. That's why the second one is be good. Always look for the good things in your marriage and your relationship. One of the things that we have continued to practice and continue to attempt to just get better, and that's being good. Just doing something good. Look for something good. The enemy is going to always give you 5 negatives, 5 bad things, 10 bad things. And our job, our objective is to figure out how can I only allow this edification to come from my mouth, that I'm not going to speak levels of corruption because I want to see a manifested goodness come out of this relationship. Number 3, be patient. Allow disagreements to work themselves out as two people are working to become one. And I can assure you that over the process of time, you will take on many of the positive attributes of your spouse. Whatever it is about your spouse that God has ordained for you to be able to embrace, you will indeed experience it. It'll become a part of you. It'll become part of your consciousness. And over the process of time, you will even have situations that they may be ready to speak, and you speak the words for them before they ever open their mouths. So much so, too, I can remember there were times when I fought Tammy, and Tammy, I know you can remember this, when I thought she knew what I was going to say or what I was thinking. And when it didn't manifest that way, I was concerned, and I was like, well, I thought you understood how I would see that or you. And it's happened vice versa. So it's always a process. We never fully get there. Number 4, be loving. Remember, God is love. You are love. And you give only love to your spouse. There's nothing wrong with being in disagreement about something. And see, this is where we must learn is that we isolate that something, that whatever that may be that we may appear to be in disagreement about, just accept it. Don't make it a big deal. Just accept it. And then you can say, hey, we don't see eye to eye on that, but I accept the fact that at this moment it's not going to be anything that will cause any kind of animosity between us. We just do not see eye to eye on that particular subject matter. And last but not least, always remember, we are peacemakers. We are the sons and we are the daughters of God. And the word said that blessed are the peacemakers. You know, we're going to see God, and God is going to grant us additional favor because we have been willing, even in the midst of all of the storms and all of the trials and all of the tribulations and all of the attempts that we have experienced by this world in its attempt to destroy marriages, we have rejected that, and we have embraced, and we have decided and made a commitment that we're going to do everything in our power to fulfill what God said, and that was to be blessed, to bless and highly favored. And it's a good thing when a man has found a woman to be his wife and a woman has found a man to be her husband, because oneness requires faithfulness. Father, we thank you tonight for being able to come together. We praise you and we thank you for the word that has come forth. We pray that this word will not go out and return void, but it will accomplish everything you send it to. We give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to remind you tonight, brothers and sisters, you have to dial back in at 9 o'clock for the ministry gifts of our sister, Minister Leah Killings. And dial back in on Wednesdays for 8 o'clock, Reverend William J. Van Jr., 9 o'clock, Elder Jason Felix. On Thursday, 8 o'clock, Minister George Flint and his wife Maria. Saturdays at 6 p.m., Mama Flint. And Sundays at 6, Amos Joseph College, Minister Amos Joseph College. We got a full slate. We have a new also minister that's going to be joining us on Sunday sometime, maybe this month or next month, coming from the Bahamas, my cousin, Minister Laverne. So we praise God and thank God. We say as you go out, you come in this week, have a great week. And by all means, work on your faithfulness. It's a beautiful thing. And as we said before, right after we air out tonight, dial back in for our sister, beautiful gifts of Minister Leah Killings. God bless. Until next week at this time.
Agape love.